in the shifting season, where we've been. We've been dealing with a lot of different elements of it, but this morning I want to talk about the realities of seed planting. The realities of seed planting. The scripture's already been read from Mark 4, 1 through 9. Seed planting, the realities of seed planting. Some of us in here are gardeners. We like to deal with our own lawn, deal with our own stuff. I don't think anybody here is necessarily a farmer, but I believe that all of us are acquainted with seed to a certain extent. And the biggest thing about seed is that when we get seed, we have determined that we want the seed to produce a thing. Very simple, very basic. We've determined that we want the seed to produce what the seed is supposed to produce. You get apple seed, you want an apple tree that'll produce apples. You tomatoes, seed is supposed to produce what it says it's supposed to produce. But a lot of times we do not take into account that the issue is not always about seed, but it's about environment. It's not always about seed, it's about environment. Sometimes you can have some bad seed. Sometimes. But for most of the time, you're going to get good seed, and it's all about the environment. If you place seed in bad soil, it will not produce at its potential. If you place seed in good soil, it will maximize its full potential. So when you look at the life of the church, most of the time people think that the only seed that you receive is when you are saved by Jesus Christ. That's the first one, you know. Salvation is the first seed, but it's the first of many. Because as you grow, you're supposed to, over time, gain more in your journey. Anybody that says or can say with clarity of mind that all they needed was Jesus and that is all, have never really truly dealt with themselves. Yes, Jesus is all. Jesus is your everything. But God still wants you to get some other seed along the way. And along the way, everybody gets more seed. Seeds of potential, seeds of purpose, seeds of vision, seeds of hope, seeds of... There's always more seed to be gathered. But sometimes that seed does not fulfill its full potential. And maybe it's because we have not prepared the environment in the best way. Sometimes we need to stop and think, are we doing all that we can to be fertile ground? Have we done the real legwork in kingdom business by preparing the environment for good seed? So, Jesus being Jesus tells us about a sower, a planter who has seed. He goes and he spreads the seed everywhere. The seed hits a road path. Seed hits rocky ground. Seed hits thorny or potentially weed-infested ground. And seed hits good ground. And he tells us that when the seed hit the road, couldn't get down and do anything because the birds came and ate it. The seed that went into the rocky ground, well, it never got any roots because the sun burned the seed. And the seed that got into the thorny ground, it took root, but the thorns choked it out. But then that good seed that went in good soil yielded a harvest that was exponential. The text and how it was read 30, 60, and 100 fold. Which tells me then that we have different work to do. The work is not about gaining seed. The work is about providing the environment for seed to prosper. And if the Church of the Living God is going to be effective in 2019 and beyond, we need to stop for a minute and begin to till the ground. Because the work of ministry, the real work of ministry, has absolutely nothing to do with certain things that we preoccupy ourselves with, but it has everything to do with creating an environment where seed can thrive. Let me take it as another step. The people that come into the church are seed for the kingdom. And anytime the environment is not conducive to helping anybody grow, you find yourself asking yourself, how do we make this thing work? And the way that it's going to work begins by fully examining whether or not we are truly good ground or we got work to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to admit there's work to do. Okay, y'all, okay. Mm-hmm. See, it's easy to agree when the preacher is the only one talking. But when you walk out the door, you got to deal with yourself. And what you set up in here by saying amen doesn't mean a hill of beans if you really don't believe that. Because every one of us has some work to do. Because if we are going to see the prosperity of God, the blessing of God, the purpose of God, the will of God performed in our midst, we all have to take some part in making sure that the environment is conducive to making people and making things grow. Which means there are certain things we shouldn't even talk about no more. I'm going to generalize today. There's certain things that are not discussions anymore. There's certain things that we should know as people how to do it. Simple things. It's not a discussion about how you treat your brother and sister. It is not a discussion about how we make sure that we love one another as Christ has loved us. It is not a discussion about the institution of the church. It's a matter of, are we doing the things as the body of Christ? Are we healthy in the sense that we are focusing on growth over complacency? Mm-hmm. The only way that we can get to the place where we see some true prosperity and growth and development is by understanding there are some realities that surround dealing with seed. And here it comes. The realities around seed planting go a little something like this. Number one, scavengers want to steal the seed. I change things up, yes. Don't look at the screen, pay attention to me. Scavengers want to steal the seed. The text says that when the seed hit the road, the birds came. When the seed hit the rocks, the sun scorched it. But let's deal with those birds for a minute. You understand that, you know, we are built and we are built to represent the Almighty God, right? We are supposed to be made in the image and likeness of God. which means that everything about us is sacred, right? Your thoughts, your ideas, your concepts, the way that you function, the way you live, who you are is sacred to God. It may not be sacred to everybody else, but it's sacred to God. You are a unique individual that has talents, gifts, skills, and everything else, right? But sometimes people do not care about that. They want to steal what God is trying to put in you. Okay, so there are things that God is trying to give to you, your destiny, your purpose, everything else. And so, like Joseph, even though he was a little naive, you share it with people you think would what? Roll with you. But they don't want to hear that for whatever reason. And then by messing you over, they try to steal what is good about you. They try to take from you what only God can give in the first place. So you have to come to a place in your life. One, you can't tell everybody everything. And number two, you got to be able to protect at all costs everything that God has placed in your life. Because sometimes you got to get to a point where you understand that every environment you go into is not for you. Every person that calls you friend ain't your friend. Everybody that says they're down for you, they got to prove it at least, and they haven't. When you've been weeping and you've been crying and you have broken down and they didn't pick up the phone when you called on them. Not because they were busy, but because they saw that you called but put you to voicemail anyway. And they're the same people that want you to pick up and hear all that drama and all that stuff. There are people in this world that all they want to do is steal. They want to steal your joy. They want to steal your contentment. They want to steal your time. Let me talk to young people because some of y'all ain't going to talk to me that could. Don't y'all got some people that you go to school with that waste your time? Yeah. It's okay. You can talk back to me. Forget them. Yeah. They waste your time everywhere. They waste your time at school. They waste your time on social media. They like stuff but don't like you. They only follow you because they want to what? Troll you half the time. All that kind of nonsense. They just want to see what you're doing. You can't call on them enough. They like your snap and that's about it. People waste your time. There are people and things that waste your time. There are people and things that try to steal your potential. There are people and things that try to scorch the good that God wants to place in you. These are reality. So anytime you feel like something isn't happening, look around and see what's happening around you. Do you have scavengers in your midst? Because if you do, it's time for you to get rid of some folk. Everybody ain't going to be ones that you can call on. Let them spectate. Don't let them in. Let them watch from back there and watch God work in your life. Got to worry about those scavengers. Two, you got environmental obstructions that hinder the growing process. The sun scorched seeds. The thorns choked out seeds. Which means that each type of ground was not prepared. They were not prepared to handle what this is that God was trying to do. They weren't ready for it. Matter of fact, if the thorn is anything like a weed, okay, all weeds are not created equal. Y'all know that, right? All weeds don't look the same. Some weeds look a certain way, some look another way, whatever. They don't all look the same. There's a type of weed that I can't stand. It's the one that basically looks like a vine. See, some things in life grow with you only to try to choke you. There are things that come around you in your environment that they'll let you grow only so far until they try to choke you out and limit you to where you can go. Okay? That's what a weed that looks like a vine does. It wraps itself around the plant. And any growth that happens will have to happen based upon either growing around it, or it won't grow and just get choked out. Church, sometimes we need to stop and do some weed work. This may not be the shouting sermon, and y'all will probably look at me cross-eyed as I leave, but it's okay. Everything in the church and everybody that's sitting in the church is not necessarily a plant that wants to grow. There are some that are strategically placed that are weeds ready to choke out anything that is trying to grow. And some people have this seed within them, this weed-filled seed within them called envy. That if anybody other than them gets blessed, they're going to do whatever it takes to make them feel bad about being blessed. Have you ever been around those people? You just can't tell. No, you can't tell anybody any good news because all they'll say is something else. They'll try to top you all the time. Man, I just got myself a new car, and I thank God that I was able to get this car. Man, I've been without one for so long. And the first question, what year is it? It's a 2016, but it's all mine. Oh, man, that's a nice car, but you know, I just got this 2019 in my garage. Try to choke out your joy. Man, I just got healed, and I thank God that I'm able to get off my sick bed. I ain't felt this good in a long time. Well, you know what? You know what? That cancer does come back around every now and then. Choke out. There's always somebody somewhere trying to choke out what God has placed in you. And if I'm in the right place, and I must be, there are people right now that are hearing me say this that are nervous because I'm talking about you. So let me cast this demon out real quick. You can't choke out what God has planted. You can't choke out vision. You can't choke out joy. You can't choke out blessing. All you're doing is finding a way to continue to keep yourself in the same miserable state that you've been living in. And for the folk that are continuing to grow, let me help you and give you a shouting cue. You are going to grow no matter what, because God is still the one that can clear it all out and make certain that no matter what happens, you will produce at the rate you're supposed to produce. The Bible says this about weeds and wheat. Jesus said later, he said, let them grow together. Because one day, they're going to come a day when the harvest time comes and everything's going to get separated. The wheat is going to go where it needs to go. And guess what? All the weeds will be gathered up and they'll be burned and put to the side. So don't worry about what is in your environment trying to take you out. You need to have a shout in your system, some joy in your soul, that no matter what is around you, God will take care of the situation. And if you're in the right place, and if you're around the right folk right now, this is your moment to say, God, I thank you, and no matter what I've gone through, no matter what I face, no matter what my test, no matter what my trial, no matter what I've had to go through, you've been there all the time. And because you've been there, I can and will still make it. God will cut the weeds out of your life. God will cause those weeds to subside. But you got to acknowledge they exist. And some of you in here right now, you need to ask yourself a question. Are you on the wrong side of God's will or not? Because weeds get taken care of. Listen, last thing is, reality is, and seed planting, reality is that prepared soil will exceed expectation. Listen, prepared soil will exceed expectation. Listen, ready for this? The seed that got in the good stuff, the text says it yielded 30, 60, 100-fold. That is exponential growth. Dealing with exponents is multiplication. Yes, that's math. Yeah, basic math, we know. Dealing with exponents is a type of multiplication. But dealing with exponents is multiplication on another level. Okay? Yes, 2 times 2 is 4. But 2 to the 3rd power is 8. Right? 2 to the 4th power is 16. Right? Exponential growth. Let me put it to you in a simpler way. Fred, you got apple seed, bruh. You plant that seed in ground. And that seed, that one seed, produces a tree. And off of that tree, 100 apples grow on that tree. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that this tree was produced by a seed that is not genetically modified, which means that everything after it will have the ability to reproduce. So you have 100 apples on that tree, each apple producing within it 6 seeds each. Which then, if my math is correct, on the tree that has 100 apples, on one tree that has 100 apples, you have 600 seeds on that tree. Which then, if harvested properly, would give you 600 more opportunities for trees. Am I still on it? So you can create your apple grove off of one tree. And off of that one tree that produced 100 apples, that produced 6 seeds per apple, which produced 600 seeds, you have now 600 more trees that each have 100 apples. Come on. Some of y'all don't know when to shout. We've been together almost a year. I'm trying to help you. Each one has 100 apples, which also produces 6 more seeds per apple, which means there are 600 seeds per tree. All right. So that means that if you do what you need to do with the ground and you take care of the seed properly, that means that God will not only grow you, but God will grow you in such a way that it will blow not just your mind, but everybody watching. Because they will not be able to understand, how is it possible that you went from just one little old seed to having a whole apple grove? And the reason will be because I did what I needed to do. I took care of the ground. I took care of the seed. I took care of everything that pertained to the seed. I harvested those apples in due season. I got the seeds that I needed. I took care of those seeds until it was time to plant again. And in the meantime, I took care of the ground in advance. So when I planted the seed again, it would produce another harvest. And this time, the harvest that came next was not going to be like the last. But people are watching you, and they're watching me, and they're trying to see, what are you going to produce? What are you going to bring about? And this is the time where the real work begins. It's not about the seed. It's about taking care of the seed. Are you ready to take care of the seed. Are you ready to take care of the ground? Because God is ready to blow your mind. The Bible says that God will do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it been conceived in the hearts of men what God has in store for those who love him. Is there anybody in here that's sick and tired of just standing right there with the status quo? God's got greater. God's got more. God's got beyond your wildest dreams. It's time to take care of the seed.
Yes, sir. My Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Don't waste your time on the frivolous. Don't waste your time on the frivolous. Because hear me when I say this. If you want to see people experience the things of God, it ain't about the seed. The word got all the seed. But if you want to see it prosper, we got to what? Take care of the ground. You got to take care of the ground. Don't let scavengers take your seed. Don't let the environment burn and choke out your seed. But till the ground. Uproot the weeds. If you got to, let the Holy Ghost be weed killer. You want to find out who's going to help you grow? Say something that God told you, and you'll find out who's who. We got to take care of the ground. If we don't, we ain't going to see the growth. And sure enough, you ain't going to see the growth that God is trying to put in you.